The fact is, this is a question which has been perplexing the Western mind as well against Hazur Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam's claims. And they say that if God had given him a status, he should have given him the status right in the beginning. But it seems that it is an evolution of thought, then reception of an office from Allah. Because he gradually goes on increasing his own claims to his own statushood. So they say that first he told the people around, Anzir Ashirataka, you warn your own family members around you. And then he said that I am for the Ummul Qura wa man hawlaha. I am for the Meccans and for those who live around Mecca. So he further increased. Then they say when he reached Medina, then he started addressing Ahle Kitab and further increased his field when he came into contact with a larger people. And then after all, he decided to become the prophet of the whole world and declared himself to be Rahmatul Lil Alameen. This is the step-by-step progress of the status of Hazrat Muhammad Mustafa Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, which appears to their eye a very strange phenomena. And when they analyze it according to their own worldly corrupt minds, they say, obviously, it is not strange, it is but human. It is only strange when you look at it from the point of view of revelation. But when you begin to see it as a human evolution, an evolution of human thought, and gradual increase in one's claims, then the riddle is solved, it's no problem anymore. Now, exactly the same attitude has been taken by the enemies of Hazrat Masih Maud alayhi salatu wasalam, and they have raised the same type of objections against him. And they laugh at it, and they simply cannot understand. Sometimes he says, I'm Mahdi, then he went on to claim that he was Messiah. Then he further claimed he was also a Christian, because he contacted the Hindus around them and said, why not? And ultimately became every prophet. You know, that is, to become every prophet means to address the whole world. Practically it is the one and the same thing. And this is a phenomena which you also can't understand innocently, not in hostility, but just it doesn't appeal to you why it should be so. That's right, isn't it? Now I'll explain why. It, in fact, therein lies the proof of the prophets. It is an established fact that if somebody is a liar who makes false claims, he does that for the sake of some worldly gain or popularity, to become a leader of some sort, to gain the favor of public opinion, and so on and so forth. Not that he wants everybody to turn against himself. Have you ever seen a man making false claims to attract hostility instead of friendship? No one has, unless he is an insane man. So, you have observed the politicians. They sometimes issue statements in mistake, misjudging the mood of the people. And when they see people have not well received it, and instead they have turned hostile, they immediately begin to retrieve their words and say, oh, it is not what we said. In fact, it is the press, you know, the press of the country and all that, how big liars they are and so on. And so we never said that. We said this, and they have misinterpreted. Because they are not honest true people. When they see their objective defeated, they make a volta face and turn about. Now, this is quite simple and logical. because no sane man would make a claim which makes him unpopular, and if he has done it by mistake, to make a further claim in the same direction, to become more unpopular. If he is false, he cannot do it. So if the first claim of a prophet makes him popular, then this interpretation of the Western scholars and the enemies of the prophets, wherever they are, could be understandable and acceptable. That when he claimed to be the prophet of his family, for instance, he was so well received and so well honored that he thought, why not a bit wider, become a wider? And he started then addressing the Meccans and their people around them. That could be understandable. But the treatment which was meted out to him after making the first claim, as they put it, was so harsh, so severe, so terrible, that the most popular man of the whole Arabia was immediately transformed into the most hated person of Arabia. So if that was the result of a false claim, no sane man could have traveled further in that direction and made still bigger claims. It's inconceivable. Only a true man can do it who cannot escape this situation. A supreme being higher than he orders him about, and he is helpless. He says what he hears, and regardless of whether he gains popularity or attracts hostility. Now, this is exactly the situation with Hazrat Masih Maud alayhi salatu wasalam. Had he been well received when he claimed to be a Mahdi by the Muslims around, then he should have thought of something bigger, because the first experiment would have proved to be extremely successful. But what happened was that all his friends turned into enemies. And even his family members deserted him. He was left alone, who a night before was the most popular rising star of India in the religious heaven. And suddenly he is deserted and abandoned completely to his own fate, not only abandoned, but pursued in hostility and with extremely dangerous designs against him. From all sides, the enemies, the ulama who turned enemies, they called him bad names, they spread false propaganda against him, they issued decrees that whoever murders him will go straight to heaven, and so on and so forth. So after this, why should he have made a greater and wider false claim, having turned his own people against himself? Why did he dare to turn the British Empire against him by making a claim which was extremely unpalatable to the British Empire? Because British Empire had a very deeply established policy that in the colonies they should spread Christianity. And they knew that through the spread of Christianity, they would gain stability in their political rule as well. So they were spending billions of rupees in their colonies to convert people to Christianity. Now, if Hazrat Masih Maud alayhi salatu wasalam was a false man, having experimented with the masses around him, he could never have dared to make the British people, the British Empire, his enemies, to antagonize them. But this claim of Messiah is exactly that, or exactly what it serves that purpose exactly. By making the claim of Messiah, you know what he in reality declared? The first thing was that the only son begotten by your godmother was not a son of God at all. And he never died on crucifixion. These two claims totally annihilate Christianity and demolish it. Deny the sonhood of Christ and deny his death upon crucifixion. the whole of Christianity falls to the ground and collapses entirely. So that was the claim which had such bitterness against the British people. And so he became extremely unpopular with the Christians, and they showed their bitterness by involving him in extremely false libels, and he was sued by the leaders of the Church of India. Not only once, at many occasions. Once under charge of murder he was sued by a bishop, what was his name? Martin Clark, yes. So that was the extent. Now after experimenting upon both his co-religious people, masses around him, and his rulers, still he was not satisfied with the enmity he had excited, and went to claim that he was also a Christian. So the mass people of the most powerful people of India at that time were not Muslims but Hindus. And thereby he antagonized them as well. And you know what happened with his debates with Lekram and his duel and so on and so forth. The whole of India was put afire by these claims, both Muslims and Hindus, and Christians for that matter. And again, as if that was not enough, the people who were the strongest just in his vicinity, living around him, were Sikhs. Qadian was surrounded by ferocious types of Sikhs who were very harsh in their conduct and extremely hostile. Once they turned hostile, there was no limit known to them. And suddenly, out of the blue, he started claiming that the founder of their religion, Guru Baba Nanak Sahib, was not at all a founder of a new religion. He was simply a convert to Islam. And he proved that by declaring that if you go and see the Chola Baba Nanak yourself, observe it, which was preserved in Dera Baba Nanak and still is, and which was exhibited once a year, Hazrat Masih Maud Islam claimed that if you go and observe that Chola Baba Nanak, you will see the Holy Quran inscribed on it, Kalima La Ilaha Illallah and Surah Fatiha and Durood Sharif and such things. So he said if he were the inventor or founder of a new religion, why on earth should he have inscribed the Holy Quran, verses of the Holy Quran and Kalima and such things as belong to the Muslim faith upon his chola? And that chola is the most sacred remnant of Guru Baba Nanak Sahib. And that chola was worn by him till the last breath. So that is to say that once he accepted Islam, he never renounced it. Now this extremely antagonized the Sikhs. So much so that I still remember during our childhood when we used to go out to preach Ahmadiyyat to the people around. In the Sikh villages we met with very severe hostility. And we had to go there in groups and well armed with guler. That was a very popular weapon with MD boys in Qadian. So that we could run away when they attacked, and during the process with a barrage of gulelas, we could stop them in their onslaught. And because things happened, you know, every time people went out to now and then we heard that boy was beaten and that boy was beaten and that boy was deprived of his property and this and that. So the hostility had still continued. Till, let's say, till 44 or so. So that was the one of the claims which he made later on. So that is not comprehensible, of course. If you look at it from human point of view, if a human being had invented all these claims, either he should be accepted as a totally insane man, or he can't behave in this manner, it's impossible. But if he were really from God, then such things happen. Allah testifies him, puts him to trial, and wants to find out that for my sake, is he ready to face greater bitterness, more hostility, and still have faith in me, and still believe that none on earth can destroy him. Only such a person can make such claims. So it is the proof of prophethood that there is a graduation in their claims, despite the fact that every step in their claim is extremely bitter to the enemies and creates hostility all around it.